Good morning. Let me begin by saying thank you to Joe Zingale for taking time out of his busy schedule to serve as the reader of our lessons this morning. I miss sitting next to Joe at choir rehearsal every week and gleaning little snippets of musical wisdom and life wisdom from the elder statesmen of our bass section. Honestly, I miss being around all of you folks on Sunday mornings. You and your hugs and your handshakes and your encouraging words and your smiles and all. And I hope and pray that someday soon we'll be able to be in one another's presence again. But for now, as Miss Susie says over at the preschool, we get what we get. And right now, what we get is this. So let's get after it. Remember how last week I told you that these Sundays after Easter give us an opportunity to look more closely at the book we've come to know as the Acts of the Apostles, and to learn from the earliest days of the church what it means for us to be church today? Well, today our lessons invite us to take a closer look at one of those early Christian congregations, the church in the Greek city of Thessalonica, and to see what we might learn from those folks in a time long ago in a place far away. But as I read those words over earlier this week, what really struck me were two simple words contained therein. Give thanks. You see, Paul starts his letter to the Thessalonians with this assertion that he and his compadres Silvanus and Timothy always give thanks to God for all of them. That they give thanks how? Well, in their prayers. That they give thanks for all the things those folks have done. That they give thanks why? Because it's the right thing to do. And the reason I suspect why those words resonate so particularly with me is probably because, well, it turns out my mom was right. Seriously, were any of the rest of you educated by your moms at a ripe young age as to the importance of saying thank you? Can any of the rest of you hear the echoes of your mom's voice ringing in your head, reminding you to say thank you to the waiter or the waitress when they took your order? Requiring you to write thank you notes to those who gave you a birthday present? Relating to you the need to say thanks to those whom you'd been done right by? The way I remember it, my first impulse was just to enjoy the gift or the good thing that had come my way. But my mom's first impulse was to thank the other person for what they'd done for me. If you're not willing to take the time to say thank you, she'd say, maybe you aren't deserving of whatever it was that they gave you in the first place. Well, it turns out my mom was right, for more reasons than even she knew. You see, there was a study done a while back by the folks at the Harvard Business School, a study about the power of thank you in the corporate world, based on a decade-long observation of some 10,000 managers and their employees. And what that study revealed is that saying thank you is good for the bottom line. You see, when bosses say thank you, employees get more motivated. When employees get more motivated, their productivity goes up. And when productivity goes up, the bottom line improves. Hence, if you want to make more money, you say thank you more often. Of course, laying it out a lot like that makes it sound like it's nothing more than a business scheme. But even the money makers realize that there is something really important about saying thank you to people who've done things for you and with you that have made a difference in your life. But now here's why I think being thankful matters more than we know. It was back in the 1930s, there was this theologian named Martin Buber who wrote a book entitled I, Thou, in which he explained that human interactions are roughly of two kinds. The first he called I-It relationships. These are the sorts of relationships that we have with people that really don't matter to us very much. Like when you go to the grocery store, all decked out in your PPE, your face mask and your gloves and stuff like that, and the gal at the check stand behind her newly installed plexiglass screen, no less, helps you with your items and tries to make just a little bit of small talk. But you really don't know the checker at all. You don't know about her broken marriage. You don't know about the plantar fasciitis that she's developed from too much time standing on her feet. You don't know about her concern for her kids and whether she's going to get exposed to this virus thing at work and then bring it home to them. To you, she's primarily a person who provides you a service. She only matters to you for what you get out of her, namely service. It's a subject and an object. Buber would say that's an I-It relationship. The other way that we relate to others, Buber asserts, is I-Thou. I-Thou relationships are the sort of relationships we develop where the other person ceases to be a something to us and somehow becomes a someone. I-Thou is where I view you not in terms of what you can do for me, but in terms of who you are as yourself. Sincerely, thanking someone forces us to see the other person as a thou, and not simply an it. And it changes the other person, and it changes our relationship with the other person. Because ultimately, it changes us. Now, I know that I've told at least some of you this before, but it must have been about 4 or 5 years ago now that kind of on a whim I committed myself to taking something on for Lent rather than giving something up. And what I took on was writing a thank you note a day for 40 days as a way to express my gratitude to others. So I bought a couple of packs of note cards and envelopes and just started first thing in the morning saying thank you to one person. Just identifying one or two things that I was thankful for about them. It was a simple way for me to say thanks to folks for being a part of my life in ways big and small. It was a relatively simple thing to do. But I got to tell you, it was an amazingly powerful one. I mean, just writing someone's address on an envelope caused me to think about the particular place where that person called home. And just writing their name on that card and writing my name at the end of that card caused me to reflect on who they were to me and who I was to them. And naming why it was that I was so particularly thankful for having that person involved in my life, it opened my eyes to this thing that we call faith, this thing that we call church. And it reminded me in a very pointed way that it's group work, that we are not soloists, that we are all part of the choir of faith. But a couple other things happened in the course of my 40 days of gratitude that I really didn't expect to happen at all. One, I became more aware of how dependent my life of faith is upon others in the church, how interconnected we really are, and just how many people are woven into that tapestry that is the people of God as we experience it. About 3 days into this 40-day journey that I was taking, I realized that the 40 days of one Lenten season would never be enough days to acknowledge all the people with whom I'm interdependent and interconnected in the church. 40 times 40, maybe, but 40 days alone, no way. Secondly, it opened my heart to an awareness that a spirit of thankfulness, a spirit of gratitude, it puts all of life in a radically different perspective. You see, by saying thanks, you realize that you're not the only player on the court. That life isn't just about me, myself, and I. Then again, I was also surprised that my simple act of thankfulness was contagious. More than half the people I wrote thank you cards to either emailed or called or wrote me back and reminded me that they too are a precious part of community, that they too are interconnected with others, that they too have much to be thankful for. You see, there's a great little book that was written about a decade ago now by a fellow named John Kralik, entitled A Simple Act of Gratitude, in which he writes, "Then I heard a voice. And the voice said, until you learn to be grateful for the things that you have, you will not receive the things that you want." He continues, "I do not know who spoke to me. I couldn't explain this voice or the words it said, which seemed to have no logical relation to any other thoughts in my head. I was tired. I was frustrated. I sat down for a minute. The voice was loud. For me, the voice was loud enough that I thought it might be important and that it might have an important message that I should not throw away. Until you learn to be grateful for the things you have, you will not receive the things you want." Which leaves me with the suspicion that somehow we further the cause of the kingdom of God each and every time we say thank you. Because in a certain way, we are created to say thanks, both to God and to those whom God would call our neighbors. Or, as my mom used to say, if we're not willing to take the time to say thank you, maybe we aren't deserving of what it is that's been given to us in the first place. Think about these things. Amen.